Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. As we continue our study of the sexual self-destruction of our society, today our focus is going to be on the problem of pseudopsychology, although we won't get too far in depth in that topic. But the question is, who says people are born homosexual, and can they really change? In 1973, the American Psychiatric Association removed homosexuality from its list of mental disorders, and of course they hardly saw it as we do as a moral disorder. Then beginning in 1996, homosexual activists began arguing that science had proven that homosexuality was a genetic trait, could not be changed, and as such there's no prohibition of marriage between two members of the same sex. And they produced what was later shown to be faulty studies to prove that. And they produced what was later shown to be faulty studies to prove their point of view, and eventually many in the public square accept that point of view. It is so pervasive that one illustration might point out the fact that we have a different redemptive point of view on homosexuality than does even the counseling world. An aspiring counselor in a Christian college, no, in a secular school, said she could not accept the lifestyle as moral or normal, although she was willing to admit that to the potential client. She was then refused the opportunity to graduate. This view has become so perceptive, this view is becoming so widespread that in the arguments about homosexuality, it often comes up. But it comes up at a very critical point in that they say that you cannot change from being a homosexual, and we disagree. Today, our guest is Sue Bowen from Pro Ministries, and she's going to enlighten us on that topic. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you. So glad to be with you.
Well, we both have a biblical point of view that same-sex marriage is wrong, and that homosexuality is perverted behavior, and that God considers it a sin. But one of the things that I see happening on the scene today is that the argument that says homosexuality is inbred is an invalid argument, and we won't go down that route and try to prove that today, but it can be. But the other problem is when people say they want to change from being homosexual, they deny that possibility and want to cast aspersion on those who do. What's your position on the fact that people who are gay, inclined to be gay, grew up gay even, can change because of Christ?
Both personal experience in terms of helping people walk out of a homosexual identity for the last 13 years, as well as my study of the Bible, which discloses that there were former homosexuals in the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 6, we see a long list, it's a vice list, you know, do you not know that XYZ sins doesn't, you know, you are not allowed to get into the kingdom of God if you persist in these, and yet some were some of you, and homosexuals are on that list. So there were former homosexuals in Corinth, and I personally know scores of people who can say, I used to think I was gay, I used to live as a gay man or a gay woman, and now I have embraced my identity as God sees me. I am a beloved child of God. I may struggle with unwanted same-sex attractions, but that doesn't define me. Who I am is a beloved child of God. So I have seen the change. As a matter of fact, what I laughingly called the world's oldest bridesmaid at the wedding of a man who had come through the ministry that I volunteer with, Living Hope Ministries, and when he married a friend of mine. And he had been deep in the homosexual life when he repented of it, received healing and life change and heart change from God, and now has been happily married for about 9 years.
When you talk about homosexual behavior and you try to analyze it, you can analyze it from their point of view and say it's genetic, it's inbred, it's in DNA and you cannot change it. Of course, we disagree with that unless you want to say that human nature is corrupt from the beginning. But the second problem is that there are conditional factors. When you're dealing with somebody who wants to escape the homosexual lifestyle, do you ever have to deal with the developmental factors or the environmental factors that have influenced them in that way?
Always. Always, because what we do is help them reframe their thinking about what was going on when they were growing up and the messages that they were receiving about themselves and the way that they came to think about themselves. That needs to be addressed in the same way that all of us in our discipleship process need to reframe our thinking about ourselves. We all need to get to the point where we recognize, I was born a sinner from birth. My my brokenness, my sinfulness takes many forms. And for people that identify as gay and experience same-sex attractions, this is their particular flavor of brokenness. But even though that people will be able to identify feeling different from a very early age, it doesn't mean different bad. It means different. You know, God made you the way you are because he was delighted to give you gifts in for women, you know, natural leadership, athleticism.
Are you suggesting then that when children grow up who have what you might say the more sensitive qualities like music or art or other things, that they are people superimpose on them a homosexual interpretation rather than a natural giftedness?
Absolutely. That is what I have seen over the years, is that particularly with boys, masculinity has a far broader spectrum of God-given giftings than what we allow for. You know, we've got this idea that in order to be a good masculine little boy, you need to climb trees and love getting dirty and go hunt down and kill things. And some boys are given gifts in art, in music, and drama, theater, and they're also emotionally sensitive. And these are our Davids. These are the ones who are God's gift to people, to bring light and life and texture and color. And so if we slap a gay label on that, then we just take them out of the picture and we are all the poorer for it. So what I'm arguing for is we need to expand our idea of how God makes boys and girls.
Well, I do understand the old picture of a mother dressing up her little boy in girl's clothes and becoming a problem, but it's broader than that, in that the absence of fathers, for example, in homes, and sometimes the dominance of mothers in homes, the roles that they play, which are inadequately played, also contribute to this. I once did a series, it's called The Sexual Self-Destruction of Our Society in our church, and I had an expert come in the evening who worked with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and when we were talking to her and asking questions, the question came up, well, what's one of the remedies for a homosexual man? And she said, a male relationship. I was surprised, because I would have thought that would be the very thing you'd want to avoid. She said, no, the problem is they've never had a healthy, godly, good, loving, caring, ethical relationship with a good man to help them give a model to it.
That's right. And that's why the church is so important for recovery, because the church is God's do-over on a family. And so I have seen it over and over again that when men and even teenage boys who don't feel secure in their masculinity, when they are accepted and affirmed by guys who don't are not troubled by their own self-acceptance of their masculinity, they're, you know, that they've got their man card and they're good with that. When they reach out and just bring these guys along and say, hey, you belong with us, you're one of us, you belong in the man club, they grow into an awareness of, you know what, I do belong here. This is who God made me to be. And so Joe Dallas, who wrote a number of books that help us understand a biblical view of homosexuality, he said that that it's a relational issue to begin with. It becomes from deficits in relationships between a boy and his dad and a boy and his peers, and it's fixed. It's later on in life by healthy relationships. So we can overcome unhealthy with healthy, and it's amazing how much power it is when we simply love one another, as the Bible calls us to do.
Well, we just have a moment left, and we do thank God that in the Bible it says that even though homosexuality is classified as a sin and the church cannot compromise on that, they can also show compassion and recovery, because some who were in the Corinth community, which was a very reprobate type community, had homosexual people who were saved and rescued out of that lifestyle. We appreciate so much this conversation. I'm sure we could go much further with it, but we want to say to the churches out there, yes, preach the truth. But remember, Jesus came to preach truth, but he came with grace as well as truth when he preached it. So let's hope we can be redemptive in the communities in which we live to show the homosexual this is not right, but God can make it right and make them whole and make them healthy. Thanks so much, Sue. We appreciate your time with us today.
Join us next week at the Frontier, where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.
Mars Hill Energy Productions.